Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Hi, I'm Chris Stainis, the host of Voices of Women on Transformation Talk Radio. Well, today we're going to talk about living your legacy. We think of legacies as something to reflect on in our elder years or what we'll be remembered for when we are have passed on. But how about a living legacy, living it now, creating your full potential now, being aware of who you are, what your purpose is, where you came from, including what previous generations gave you to build from, and what will last through to the future generations? What this perspective gives us is to think big beyond ourselves. Too many times we think small. We're scared to be visible and share our gifts. Think of how great our world would be if we all lived in our larger self, knew who we were, what we have to offer to the whole world. I read an article recently about how women still have a confidence problem and don't own their expertise. They avoid the spotlights, not wanting to appear outspoken and self-possessed, as some women are portrayed negatively, I might add. If we don't acknowledge our gifts and our strengths and what we have to contribute, we'll continue to be the silent majority, and we will not have a voice in co-creating our world, making an impact on the decisions that affect each one of us. So as we talk today, I invite you to reflect on what it is you have to give and consider how you can contribute your voice, your legacy. And today is my honor to have my guest, Dr. Gloria Burgess. Dr. Gloria Burgess speaks, writes, and teaches on legacy leadership, legacy living, and legacy relationships throughout the U.S. and the world. She enjoys working with people of all cultures, ages, and life circumstances. Wherever she is called, her purpose is singular, to help others, especially women, lift their voice as instruments for personal, professional, organizational, and social transformation. Gloria is an award-winning poet, author, director, and performing artist, and she has published several books. Her latest book is Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside, and her just before that came out, Legacy Living. And then she has three books of poetry, which include Journey of the Rose and The Open Door, and she has an inspirational picture book for children of all ages about her father's life-changing relationship with author William Faulkner. Burgess declares sacred promises of legacy living as part of a transformational process that helps us connect to our past by honoring those who came before us, living with intention in the present, and freeing our talents so we can realize our potential. She believes in the power of improvisation, evoking and building on thoughts and ideas of others to help individuals and organizations get from where they are to where they want to be. Gloria knows that the essence of transformation comes from the human spirit and a higher power, which unfolds as a creative, spontaneous conversation with the soul. And Gloria's topic today is Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. So welcome, Gloria, to Voices of Women.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's great to be here.
Yes, so I'm reading over your materials and your website and everything. You triumph over some extreme adversity that normally obliterates the voice and ravages the soul. And perhaps you had lost your voice at one time, but how did you pick yourself up out of that adversity?
Well, the ravaging parts for me were twofold, Chris. You know, I, as a woman in this Western culture, and in particular the United States culture, you know, just having a full voice and being recognized for it is quite a struggle, even now. And as an African American woman, as a little girl, you know, growing up in the time that I did in the segregated South, It was very, very difficult. You know, I had lots of competing messages. I had messages from my family, my immediate family, you know, my mother, my father, my aunties, my uncles, you know, the people that I call my personal village, giving me lots of very positive, uplifting messages. I got those messages in my community, at church, et cetera. But around me, you know, when I went outside of my immediate circle of the folks raising me, I would get remarkably different messages. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're dumb. You're stupid. You know, sometimes very blatant messages like that. And as an African American, you know, as a little black kid, we were supposed to be not seen, not heard. And so, you know, little by little, that just really begins to erode your sense of yourself, your sense of identity, your sense of your self-confidence, et cetera. So how did I pick myself up from that? It was a long, long journey for me. And I'd say that my first remembrance of really being intentional about this was when I was in the fifth or the sixth grade. And, you know, even though I didn't have words for it at the time, I knew that something weird was happening to me. You know, I didn't hang out with, you know, the kids that, that I wanted to hang out with because I didn't feel like I belonged. I didn't feel accepted. And little by little, I just kind of felt myself just shrink and wither, really, from the inside out. And I remember, I don't recall exactly when this happened, but I do know that this happened when I was in the sixth grade, so I must have been about, you know, maybe 10 or 11 years old. And I had a teacher at the time who could see past, you know, all the facade that I put on, you know, because I tried to put on a, you know, kind of this bravado facade, the outside me. But inside, I was just really, you know, I was really struggling. But she saw behind that facade, and she reached out to me. And, Chris, she gave me, I'm going to say, a lifeline, because at that time, it really did feel like I was shrinking. I was kind of dying inside. And she gave me the lifeline that I needed to hang on to and to really begin to see myself differently. And the way that she did it, you know, teachers are very smart people, but they're also very tricky sometimes. And I remember sitting inside at recess one day. You know, I had my head down on my desk. I didn't want to talk to anybody. Everybody else was outside playing, all the other kids. And she came in and she said, you know, what's going on? You know, why aren't you outside playing? And I told her. And she had her hands behind her back, and then she slowly just pulled out this little blue book, and she laid it on my desk. And that little blue book was a book of poems by Langston Hughes. And when I read that little book, it just, like I said, it gave me the water, the long drink of water that I needed. And the reason for that is because, you know, when I looked at the poems, she knew that I loved to read. She knew that I loved poetry. But in these poems, I could hear the music, the language, of the voices that I heard at home. And I saw pictures of people who looked just like me, you know. So what she was giving me, I think, was a mirror of myself. And, you know, she thought she was giving me a book of poems, but she gave me a little mirror of myself, and I could see myself in those poems. And that was the first time that I had ever had that experience, you know, holding that kind of mirror in my hands outside of my home. You know, it's one thing to get the encouragement at home. It's quite another thing to get that recognition and acknowledgement and appreciation outside of your home. And so that was the beginning for me.
Yeah. And what a great gift in sixth grade. And so many of us, we don't get that until we're quite older, you know, where you were able, and I'm sure you still had adversity, and, you know, growing up past sixth grade, because things don't just change overnight. But
no.
The fact that you remember that, and it was something for you to hang on to, and, you know, and that discrepancy between home and the world can really split a person up. You know, did you feel torn inside? Like,
very very torn. You know, I kind of felt like, I hate to use the term schizophrenic because that's a special term in our culture, but I did feel like I had this sort of split self. You know, one way of being in my home and with people that I felt comfortable with, and a totally different way of being when I was in the world, you know, outside of my home, outside of my neighborhood, so to speak. And that was devastating. And like you said, it was, you know, it wasn't just that one incident, but that was the beginning of a turn for me. You know, I faced a lot of the same kind of thing throughout, you know, the rest of my schooling, throughout high school, junior high school, and into my college, and really into the workplace as well. I mean, it didn't go away, but I had more resources, if you will, to prepare myself and to protect myself. And to develop myself along the way.
Yes. Well, we're going to hear more about Gloria's story. You're listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stanis. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back. TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hi, I'm Paul Bland. Did you know there is only one truly perfect food protein produced by nature? It can bring dramatic results to your health, your appearance, and overall performance. Introducing Action Whey. No other protein supplement on the market has been able to achieve the incredible health benefits of Action Whey while still achieving a taste that is better than a malt shop shake. Action Whey, for the way nature intended. Visit seaandearth.com. That's seaandearth.com for more information.
Chris Stanis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
The In Search of the Miraculous 3-day workshop at the Omega Institute from July 29th to the 31st can change your life. Learn how to identify and erase your unconscious programs. Experience the quick and profound results of the revolutionary self-healing Dalian method. And fast forward your healing journey into consciousness with direct individual guidance from Mata. To register for this life-changing workshop with Eliza Mata Dalian at the Omega Institute, visit the calendar of events at dalianmethod.com.
Bambusa Bamboo Products saves trees and reduces waste by providing a new material for bathroom tissue and baby wipes. Bambusa Bamboo Products offers the only tree-free 100% bamboo bathroom tissue and award-winning baby wipes made from ultra-soft bamboo-derived fibers. Using material from renewable bamboo is the ideal alternative for toilet paper and wet wipes. Call 866-996-2867. Or visit bambusa.com.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker, Sue London. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Women of Wisdom. Women of Wisdom. Women of Wisdom. Rise and shine.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stanis on Voices of Women. That song you just heard is the theme song of Woman of Wisdom, which is the organization I founded. And we are in our 20th year of doing some amazing conferences every February in Seattle. And Dr. Gloria Burgess is with me today, and she's been one of our presenters. So we've been talking about your experiences, you know, as a child, Gloria. So how did they lead you into doing the work you're doing now?
Well, you know, when you look back at your life, Chris, it looks like a straight line, but when you're living it, sometimes it feels like it's a zig and a zag and a, you know, it feels very meandering. But the childhood that I had that I just talked about has actually prepared me so well for the work that I'm doing now. And I look back at my life and I go, thank goodness, you know, I had those experiences. And thank goodness I had the kind of reckoning, that I did, you know, back in those, really hard, difficult times. The work that I'm doing right now is working with, adults primarily, so mid-career men and women who are very interested in leadership, but they already have the external competencies of leadership, if you will, you know, decision-making, problem-solving, collaboration, all of those things. But they sort of have lost their way in terms of their purpose, their value stream, you know, making sure that they're walking their talk, aligning their values with what they the work that they do and how they show up in the world. And so my work is really about working with leaders on who they are first so that they can do their best, most magnificent work in their communities, in their workplaces, and in the world. And so when I talk about legacy, you know, you mentioned at the top of the show that in our culture we tend to think about legacy as connected with the latter part of our life or even after we're gone. But the notion of legacy that I'm talking about and that I help people understand, it's really about being conscious and on purpose and intentional every single day, you know, with every single decision you make, with the people that you include or the people that you decide to exclude in your circle. And so really being conscious about just the choices that we make, because we leave a footprint, we leave an impact no matter what. And so my work is all about helping people really, you know, leave a positive, life-affirming impact rather than one of those, you know, negative, bad hair experiences.
Yeah, it's important work, and I think a lot more people are looking for that now because they're looking for meaning in the. They don't want to just go to a job anymore. You know, they want to have something that's purposeful. So your book, Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside, what does that mean to you to wear your soul on the outside? And have you ever been scared to do that?
So wearing your soul on the outside, you know, people ask me about that all the time. Where does it come from? What does it mean? And I actually, you know, I wrote this poem maybe a dozen or so years ago called Song to Myself. And that line, dare to wear your soul on the outside, comes from that poem. And so what that means is really about, you know, taking off taking off your coat, if you will. You know, a lot of us hide behind other people. We hide behind agendas that maybe we've outgrown. We play small when in fact we are, you know, these wonderful, glorious, magnificent human beings. But we don't bring all of our gifts forward. So daring to wear your soul on the outside is really about taking the dare. You know, daring to be bold, daring to be scrumptious, daring to be delicious, daring to be magnificent. And it's also about being of service to others. So, you know, for my work, the two go hand in hand. Leadership and service are part of the same thread. And so it's not about just being the best you. It's really about bringing all of your gifts forward, letting your light shine, and then, you know, reaching out a hand and pulling somebody else across the bridge and pulling somebody else across the bridge. So it's about being of service to other people as well.
Yeah, I agree. It's, that's something that Women of Wisdom supports, and promotes because it isn't just about our path and our growth, but once you reach a certain stage in your life where you have a sense of who you are, it's mentoring that and being a role for others and being a role model for others. And it's important to have that sense of service too. So, but how do we get over our fears of that? Does that relate to your seven sacred promises that, you know, working through those, is that?
It does relate to the seven sacred promises, and you know, you asked me, have I ever been scared to do to wear my soul on the outside? And yes, I mean, you know, I lived a good part of my young adulthood trying to please my parents. You know, my dad wanted all of his girls, my four sisters, to be doctors, and so I, you know, decided, you know, in undergraduate school that I would enroll in pre-med studies, and I really got it, you know, quickly that this was not for me. But, you know, I was trying to please him because, you know, my mom and dad worked very hard to put us all through school, yada, 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 all of that stuff. And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be what they saw in me. And when I recognized that was not the right path for me, I thought, you know, this is really a reckoning time, and I'm going to have this conversation with my parents and with my dad in particular. And it was not an easy conversation, but I figured if I could get through that conversation, because, you know, in my household, you didn't talk back to your parents. Whatever they said went. And if I could have that kind of conversation with my dad, then I could have that kind of conversation with anybody. So yes, it's difficult, but you know, I think it's Audre Lorde that says you must do the thing that you most fear and you will live through it. Just keep moving through it. That really is, you know, for some people what daring to wear your soul on the outside is all about. And when you move through the fear, what happens on the other side is that you realize that you are this, you know, that you're taken seriously, that you do have a voice, and that you are this really bright, vibrant, shiny human being, if you will. You know, your soul just becomes lit up, and you go through life, you move through life in a different way.
Yeah, that's true. So I want to go over a little bit of the seven sacred promises, or we also call them covenants. Now, The first one you have is gratitude, and I want to read a poem that you wrote. It's called Whispers at Dawn. Hush now, listen. Lean into those voices that whisper at dawn. Stand gently, proudly on the broad bones, the great shoulders of the grandmothers and fathers who dreamt you and held you, keep you and walk with you, stroking your face as dawn paints that canvas of sky.
Thank you. Yeah, so the seven sacred promises are special commitments that we make to ourselves and to others and to God. So gratitude is the first place that you begin. You know, I think it was Cicero who said that gratitude is the grandparent of all the blessings. And most people think about gratitude as just connected with, you know, thank you, maybe counting your blessings or you know, very simple notion of gratitude. For me, gratitude is much, much, much bigger and more encompassing than that. I think about gratitude as a way to think about, you know, how I'm in relationship. So how am I in relationship to you, to other people, you know, my work, the people in my life that are, you know, loved ones. What is my relationship to the past? So, you know, whose shoulders am I standing on? That Whispers at Dawn poem, you know, gets at, you know, everybody, every single person on the planet, you know, the 6 billion of us that occupy this wonderful place that we call home, standing on somebody else's shoulders. And it's not just one or two people, it's hundreds of them. You know, the people who have made sacrifices for us to be in this kind of conversation that we're in today. So gratitude is really about relationship to not only people and things and, you know, plants and animals, but also the relationship that we have to the past, to the future, and to the present. So gratitude is about acknowledging where we've come from, acknowledging our children, and whether you have biological children or not, it's really acknowledging our responsibility to be good stewards of the future, and it's about, you know, walking in gratitude in the present. So it's all of those things together.
Yes, and I like it. You have it as the first covenant because it's a great place to start. You know, and I know a lot of people start with gratitude when they work in prosperity. You know, because we it puts us in at that Thanksgiving place of where we can actually receive. So your second covenant is faith. And reading your book, I was looking, I liked that it includes, it's almost more about faithfulness to yourself.
It really is. I mean, faith is a big one, you know, and people, this is the promise, the sacred promise that where some people kind of get snagged. So I'm talking about faith in yourself. I'm also talking about faith in a higher power, so a faith beyond yourself. I'm also talking about faith in others, you know, because we're surrounded by a great, you know, collaborative, if you will, a great collective of people. And so it's really multiple dimensions of faith. But it's, you know, in our culture, we talk about, you know, we have this little saying that seeing is believing. And for faith, for this particular covenant, it really is flipping that and thinking about it as believing is seeing. So when you believe that you can manifest whatever it is you want to manifest, whatever it is you want to make happen and come into your life, abundance or whatever it happens to be, you know, you have to believe it first. You have to envision it. You have to believe it. And when you believe, you move differently through the world. I used to be a dancer. And, you know, in dance we talk about, you know, you take a leap of faith. And so that leap of faith is when you jump up off the floor, you know that the floor will rise up to meet you. Okay. And so there's this, this faith, that is really kind of indescribable, intangible, but you know it, because it helps you put one foot in front of the other and you know, you keep moving in that direction.
Okay, well, right now we're going to move to our commercial break. This is Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more about Sacred Promises with Gloria Burgess.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Is Egypt calling you? Are you dreaming of taking a spiritual pilgrimage to one of the most magical destinations on the planet? Being in Egypt immerses you in the realm of infinite possibilities. The veils are thinner, your connection to your full potential more accessible, and your heart opens more easily. Picture yourself meditating inside the Great Pyramid, exploring the sacred temples in exclusive visits, and cruising down the Nile on a luxurious sailing yacht. If you're interested in travel that transforms and rejuvenates you, join Dr. Friedemann Schaub and Danielle Rama Hoffman, author of The Temples of Light for a Spiritual and Healing Journey to Egypt this November. Call for more information, 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit egyptiscalling.com. That's egyptiscalling.com.
Psychic Dougal Fraser, the queer guy with a third eye, one of the country's most popular psychics, joins Transformation Talk Radio with a call-in advice show that will provide insights and information on creating your best life. You've seen him on The Real Housewives of Orange County, Dancing with the Stars, and so much more. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show will both inspire and crack you up with laughter. Tune in every Tuesday at 10. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
Pray, pray like a woman. Pray, pray like a woman. Every day, hey, hey, pray like a woman.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women. A song, Pray Like a Woman, is by Lorraine Bays. It's on our Woman of Wisdom CD, same as the Woman of Wisdom theme song. You can purchase this on our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. There's some great songs from many years at our conferences. So I'm talking with Gloria Burgess, and we're talking about the Sacred Promises. It's from her book, Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. And the next covenant or promise is love. And I was reading about your experience, Gloria, that you went to as a child. You went to an all-white church.
Yes.
And that must have been pretty interesting.
Well, it was very interesting. And what made it particularly interesting, Chris, I mentioned earlier that I was raised in both Mississippi in the South as well as in the North. And when I was a little girl, really little girl, I lived in an all-black community. You know, I thought it was the black town, but it was really that part of town. And so we moved from there. My family moved from there with all black people to an integrated neighborhood in Detroit. But I was still like one of very few black people in the community. And when I went to, when we moved to another city in Michigan, my family ended up going to an all-white church. And that was just a very, very different experience. Number one, because they didn't want us there. Number two, because God seemed to want us, you know, he seemed to, you know, want us there. And my father felt like he was led to that church. And over the years, you know, I grew to actually just love the church, love the people in the church. But it was very hard for me as a teenager to reconcile, like, you know, God says, you know, God is love. God says love everybody. But, you know, I experienced different treatment from some of the people there. Not everybody, but some of the people were very bigoted and, you know, very prejudiced and so on. And, you know, so that was a very, that was a spiritual experience for me. You know, we all get our spiritual lessons in different forms, and that was one of my spiritual lessons.
So you found a place for love there? 'Cause I did,
for me. And, you know, I remember just, you know, not too long ago, a few years ago, I was talking with my mom about my experience as a teenager in that particular church, and she still goes there. She just turned 80 this year. And I said, you know, what gave you and Dad this, you know, the stamina, the perseverance to hang in there? And she just, you know, without missing a beat, she said, well, you know, because God put us there and he wanted us there and we're supposed to love everybody. And her words to me were, you know, you love people until they love you back. And, you know, that was the approach that she took. And, I hadn't, you know, I didn't have that conversation when I was growing up. But that was really the kind of the approach that I took without really realizing, you know, that that was what she was doing as well.
Love everybody till they love you back. I mean, that
love
takes
them till
a
they love you back. Yeah.
That she's a strong woman, isn't she?
Oh, my mother is very strong. Yeah. Very strong. Yeah. And you know, when you're around people like her, and people say the same thing about me, and I'm sure people probably say the same thing about you, Chris, when you're around people who are spiritually very strong, who are very solid in their core, you know, some of that just kind of oozes out, whether you talk about things or not. It just, you know, that's how you carry yourself in the world, and that's how people receive you as well.
That's true. And we can go around projecting, well, they're not going to love me, so... You know, where does that put you? You're not loved.
Yeah, and you usually attract what you put out, right? So
exactly.
Yeah.
So, and the next covenant is vision, power of seeing. And of course, that's always important. And what are you going to create? You know, but how do you go about working with people in the vision?
Well, so vision is one of those promises that is very easily understood. You know, everybody understands the idea of goals, right, or a to-do list. And so vision is about having a sense of the bigger picture, you know, where you want to go with your life purpose, if you will, or this particular part of your life. And then putting the wheels, you know, putting the wheels in motion to make sure that you have the resources, the right resources to get you from here to there. So how do I work with people with vision? I really have them focus on the future, but that's the second thing that I do. That's where people usually start. I have them focus on the future, but I have them begin with what is happening today. So what is happening with what, you know, we call current reality? Because we can't get to, you know, that goal, that future place, unless we're really, really clear about where we're at right now. We might be able to make some baby steps toward it. We might even think we've arrived. But what tends to happen is, you know, if we haven't really come to grips with what, you know, is going on right now, is that we'll get over, you know, to that new place, but then we'll pop right back into where we are right now. So it doesn't have sticking power. And so we create this map, if you will, of where we are today, where we want to go, and then the creative tension between those two places is really the place that I work most with people. So about 80% of the time is, you know, talking about the little incremental steps to get you from here to there. You know, what do you have to do to support yourself? What do you have to do to make sure that you have resources? And I'm talking about people. I'm talking about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about quality of attention. So all of those resources, and really begin to unpack, you know, what has kept you in the place where you are right now, and what do you need to actually move over to that new place where you envision yourself.
Yeah, it sounds like great steps, because, yeah, you're right, you just can't jump there. And sometimes we're kind of draw a blank when we're, well, I'm here now, how do I get there? And there's, mm-hmm. And if you take it small steps at a time, you can see, oh, here's a path I can take.
Yes.
So also connected to all this in your next covenant is integrity. And that's about wholeness. And it's also about, I like the word is authenticity, you know, being authentic.
Yes. And, you know, one thing we haven't talked about, Chris, is that all of these sacred promises go together. So, you know, you can have a trumpet, right? Or you can have a trumpet and a violin and a cello, and you have an orchestra. And when you have all of those instruments together, they make incredibly beautiful music. And so the promises really go together. So integrity is really all about, you know, bringing your whole self. It's bringing your authentic voice. It's being congruent. So in other words, it's about walking your talk, living your values, not just talking about them. And it's about coming to terms with, I'm going to say, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, a lot of us have the good, and, you know, we're all that. We want to, you know, be look good and all of that. But we really don't come to terms with those little parts of ourselves that leak out anyway. And so part of what holds us back from our vision, if you will, is not dealing with the things that we get organized by unconsciously. And so bringing those things to consciousness is part of the integrity work, but it's also deeply connected to vision, you know, so that once we envision a goal for ourselves, or, you know, we want to do something that's new and different, we can actually have the legs to stand on, if you will, in that place, that new place that we envision for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us wonder why we end up in bad relationships, and the relationship happens to be just like the one that we had before and before that, only the people are different, right? And usually it's the task of integrity, if you will. It's focusing on that particular promise that will help you get through, so that you don't end up repeating old patterns that no longer serve you anymore. So each one of these promises, in a way, is kind of like a gate that you have to go through and pass through and stay, you know, before you can really begin the manifestation process.
Yeah, and it's a whole process. So you have to, and you're probably cycling through these all the time. jumping
all
back
the time.
And forth. But, you know,
absolutely,
okay, I got to go back to love. I got to go back to vision. Oh, you know, before
you
I do this integrity piece and, oh, got to go back to love today. I'm missing the love.
It's exactly right. Yeah, you don't just go through these things in a linear fashion and then you're done. You know, you're always cycling through. And once you learn the lesson that you're supposed to learn in this part of your life, guess what? You have to back up and go back again. So it's always, yeah. it's a process. It's always in motion.
Yeah, it's kind of like peeling an onion. And as you grow, sometimes these lessons come up again. You go, oh, why? I thought I dealt with this. Well, you're just getting to a deeper level of
exactly.
awareness about it. And so you're clearing. And you have the opportunity to clear more of that, you know. So I don't want to go into a lot on creative action. You can tell us a little bit about that. But we're going to, when we come back, we're going to get more into the legacy, the actual legacy part of it. So can you speak just we've got less than a minute on creative action? Because I think it's kind of obvious.
It is very obvious, and we've actually been talking about it without naming it. So any thought, any step that you take is a creative action. The part about the creative part is, I call that out because most of us don't think of ourselves as creators with a little c. And so rather than just calling it action, I want to, you know, make visible that we are creators. You know, we are co-creators, we're creators, and that we have that kind of power and blessing in our life.
Yes. It is about owning that power that we're co-creators in a way too. Sometimes we don't do this alone. So we're listening to Gloria Burgess. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and we'll be right back and talk more with Gloria.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented Vacupractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their Vacupractor.
The Vacupractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust and not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my Vacupractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the Vacupractor a try.
Vacupractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95, and you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The Vacupractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
The In Search of the Miraculous 3-day workshop at the Omega Institute from July 29th to the 31st can change your life. Learn how to identify and erase your unconscious programs. Experience the quick and profound results of the revolutionary self-healing Dalian method. And fast forward your healing journey into consciousness with direct individual guidance from Mata. To register for this life-changing workshop with Eliza Mata Dalian at the Omega Institute, visit the calendar of events at dalianmethod.com.
Women of Wisdom.
welcome back, Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis. We're talking to Gloria Burgess. So Gloria, can you give your contact information for our audience?
Yes. My website is www.GloriaBurgess.com. And from there, you can get to my blog and other resources on my website, including a free resource guide for my latest book. You can download it for Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside.
Okay. And where can they find your books?
You can find my book anywhere books are sold, online at Amazon.com. If they're out of it in your bookstore, just have them special order it for you.
Yes, and I want to recommend the book. And both books, Legacy Living and Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside, both have exercises and questions to answer. And she really takes you through a journey. So I highly recommend getting Gloria's books. So our last covenant, which in the Legacy Living, you only had six, but you added a seventh on in your Dare to Living, which is the legacy aspect of it.
Yes, and legacy really is about, I'm going to say legacy consciousness, so really being mindful about, again, being a blessing to other people. So it's about service, and it's about stewardship. You know, when I was a little girl, my mother used to say, make yourself useful, and lots of people can relate to that because, you know, they have moms just like me. But now that I think about her words, you know, as an adult looking back on that, I think about those words as legacy words. You know, make yourself useful. You know, this life is not just about you. We're in this boat together, and we belong to one another. And so how can you be of service to your neighbors? How can you be of service to your family members? And for some of us who work, you know, around the world, how can you be of service to somebody else out there, you know, across the water? And so legacy really is about being conscious, being intentional, being on purpose about service and about stewardship. So it's, again, it's looking to the future. It's being in the present, but it's also being, you know, very, very intentional about caretaking, about being a trustee, if you will, on behalf of the future.
Yeah, it is about living intentionally. And in your book, just want to quote a couple things that you say about it is, legacy is our very reason for being. Legacy is why we quest after our own true voice.
Yes.
Legacy is why we aspire to live a creative, authentic life. Legacy is why we bring forth our signature presence. So in your book, you, in this Legacy Living book, you had a legacy ribbon exercise, which I thought you might like to share with the audience.
Yes, the legacy ribbon exercise is really a way to slow down and to be thoughtful about how you are crafting your legacy. And so, you know, the invitation is to just gather or get a little piece of a ribbon, you know, several yards long. It can be a small ribbon, maybe half an inch, whatever. And then get, you know, a handful of buttons, or it can be either even other ribbons that you tie onto the ribbon, but being really thoughtful about, you know, who paved the way for me? You know, who am I paving the way for? Who am I reaching out to? Those kinds of questions. And as you think about the answers to those questions, you add a button or you tie a little knot in the ribbon as a way to remember, and to keep that, flame alive in your own life.
Yeah. So it's nice, almost like a talisman in a way of something. And when maybe you're having a little down moment, you can pick up your ribbon and, you know, feel the energy of all that. That's like, it represents you.
Yeah, and you know, as a writer, you know, that one of the things that I do, you know, sometimes we have this thing called writer's block, and I don't believe in writer's block. I just truly don't, because you can draw on the legacy of people who have come before you, and that's where legacy and gratitude are hooked up for me. You know, I just think about, you know, I pull out that little blue book of poems that I told you about for my sixth grade teacher. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. I still have it. And I look at some of Langston Hughes's poems, and they give me inspiration. You know, so he's part of my legacy ribbon, if you will. And when I get, you know, a little stuck, or I think I can't fill that page, all I have to do is go, you know, there are tens, there's hundreds, there's thousands of men and women who have gone before me, who have done this before, and I am in the same river as they are. You know, they're part of my legacy. And that gives me the inspiration and the energy to just keep on keeping on.
So I was just noting you have a blog called Feel Good Tuesday.
Yes.
What is that about?
Feel Good Tuesday is, thanks for asking about that. You know, Monday is usually like the day we get up, you know, we don't want to go to work because it's, you know, we just had a great weekend or whatever. And I figured people can figure out their own way on Monday because they have to get to work anyway. But Tuesday we begin to feel a little saggy, a little drippy, a little droopy. And so I decided to do a Feel Good Tuesday post, weekly. It's almost weekly. And just as a way to give people a shot in the arm, a little boost, a little fresh air, if you will. So inspirational sayings from my work, inspirational quotes from other people, and just resources that they can, you know, easily click on and give them a little, you know, 1 minute vacation.
On Tuesday, I feel like I'm just starting to get into the stream of things and get going because Monday is, yeah, it's kind of like focus. Okay, what is this week? And it's catching up and all sorts of things. So sometimes Tuesday can be a very productive day for me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. And sometimes I'm spinning my wheels and then Wednesday gets more productive as you get. But that's great too, just being able to pass on, you know, inspiring messages to people. It's what you do. And and you're a storyteller. You know, that's why do you tell stories?
Well, I tell stories because they are like a, to me, they're healing. They're like a salve that you put on things. They give you a lift. They teach you. It's a way of telling people about myself. It's a way of learning about other people. For me, stories are one of the most important engagement rings, if you will, that we can have because it builds community. It forges bonds. It forges relationships between people. And it's the shortest way that I know to get out of your head and into your heart.
Yeah, I agree. And stories, they're an important part of Women of Wisdom. I think they're an important part of people's journeys and the healing process. It's just, you know, sharing your stories. So you also have, you invite people to share their promise story. If you go to, can you tell them where you go to your website? You can send, people can send their stories to you.
Yeah, you just go to my website and there's a little link on there that says, you know, send me your promises stories. And what the invitation is all about is to send me, you know, a paragraph or two paragraphs about something that has changed you or moved you or touched you that has changed your life or how maybe you've changed somebody else's life. And then I will take those stories and publish them on my blog to share with the community. And I want to go back to something else that you mentioned about stories. I think another reason that I tell stories is because I don't know, you know, and it's not my business to know really who might need that story that particular day. You know, some of us smile and we use smiles as sunshine. I think for me, I smile as well, but I use stories as sunshine for other people. I remember years ago when I first started telling my dad's story, which we didn't get to talk about today, I told that story to somebody and he just looked at me and he said, my God, he says, have you ever told this story to anybody else? And for some reason, Chris, I don't know why I told that story to him that day, other than he had lived in Mississippi. I knew that he would get it. He was a journalist, and we just had this sort of click. But I said, no, I've never told this story to anybody else. It's a family story. I said, why would I want to tell it to anybody else? And he says, Gloria, you've got to tell this story. It's a healing story. Other people need to hear it. And I never, you know, it never occurred to me that it might help somebody else. But healing, the healing power of words, I believe is just so, so precious and so big in my life. And I'm so, I think stories just sort of ooze out of me. And so it's one of those things where I don't even think about it. But when I slow down and really think about the power of stories, I mean, they really do have the power to transform us and other people. And I believe whole countries, whole nations. And so that's, you know, that's for me the real blessing, the gift of story.
Yes, thank you. And people can read about your father's story in your book. So I recommend you get Gloria's book, Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. Thank you, Gloria, for being here today and sharing with our audience what it means to live a legacy. And you are living one.
You are so welcome, Chris. And thank you for the great work that you have been doing and that you continue to do.
Thank you. So I want to leave everyone with this thought today. What is your legacy you have to share with your family, friends, work and the world, and what are you going to do today, this weekend, this year to bring that to a reality? This is Chris Danis, and I'm glad to have shared this hour with you on Voices of Women. You can contact me at wow@womenofwisdom.org and check out my book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. It's an award-winning and Amazon bestseller, and it changes people's lives, just as the Woman of Wisdom Conference has. You can go to www.womenofwisdom.org to purchase it and also sign up for our newsletter. And thank you for tuning in to Voices of Women, and I'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.